Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yada. Each weekday morning here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and the deadly myths which are associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, also with military and economic schemes. Instead of presenting the news, our mission here is to help everyone understand what is occurring behind the headlines, all while predicting how these events will shape our world over the next 10, 15, and 20 years. Then during our second hour, we will engage God on His terms by way of His covenant and through His Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, we can all replace religion with reason and engage in a relationship. Our phone number for those who would like to participate in the discussion over the next 2 hours, toll free, 877-300-7645. I am one who has come to the conclusion that even if the truth worked, even if the truth was more reasonable, even if the truth was more effective, the United States government would still choose to lie. The Internet Fairness Bill is such a crock. It has absolutely nothing to do with fairness. If they wanted to be fair, they'd stop sales tax. Yesterday I had a piece of patio furniture that cushion had mildewed. I had to order a replacement for it. And the company that's making the cushion is not in California, therefore should have been no sales tax. And yet I was charged 9% by the state of California. And the state of California did nothing. You know, why? And this is a question you go into. There are states that have chosen to fund their government in ways other than sales tax. And so in those states, now sales tax will have to be collected. Sent where? To greedy politicians. I mean, it is when you hear this kind of thing and you hear a spokesperson for the White House say that they have investigated this and that they're doing it because it's fair, as opposed to saying, you know, why don't we stimulate the economy and reduce taxes? No, their solution is to raise taxes, to create taxes where they hadn't been taxes before. For sales tax to be collected in a state, the seller has to have a nexus in that state. They have to have a physical location in that state. And so if the seller does not have is in Washington State, and somebody in Florida wishes to buy a widget from them, the seller in Washington State does not have a nexus in Florida, and therefore there is no reason for Florida to get a sales tax from that transaction. It's the way the law has always been. But now that there are technologies that make buying things more efficient, the government wants to tax them. The next item on the list is just really embarrassing, particularly with Carney's most recent comments on sequestration. The airlines made certain that the Obama administration's wishes were felt. The government, and Obama's all upset that his beloved government has had to impose sequestration. Now, mind you, there is this myth that sequestration actually cut government spending. No, that is not true. Government is spending considerably more this time this year than it did this time last year. But the government doesn't want to cut any of its pet programs, but what has this president been at war against? He has been consistently at war against the wealthy. And one of his favorite tactics is to attack airplanes, which is why so many, like Hawker, Beechcraft, you know, just went bankrupt. Piper's on the cusp of going bankrupt. Cessna is on the verge of shutting down its production lines. It's a industry now that barely exists. And you know, it's interesting too that while the Obama administration wanted the public, the particularly the business people, to feel the pain of sequestration, because that was, you know, he wants more government, more and more government spending and more government control. By choosing FAA controllers to slow down air travel, to slow down business, to inconvenience people in the country, he picked an area that was unbelievably stupid. The FAA actually runs like everything associated with government, or most everything, ought to run. It runs on user fees. When a private pilot or a commercial airliner fills the wings of their airplane with Jet A or with avgas, they pay exorbitant excise taxes to fund the FAA. When you ride in an airplane, the government just passed a law that says that the airline can't even tell you how much of the ticket price is in excise taxes and user fees, and it's enormous. Because you're paying taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes for the abuse that's perpetrated by the TSA. The FAA is fully funded. It does not require any government funds to operate. It is user fee funded. And yet this president decided that, you know, I can really attack and hurt the people I'm at war with, which would be the most affluent Americans, the most engaged and productive Americans. I can lash out at business who travel, businessmen, making them less efficient by imposing cuts at a place that they'll never figure it out. No one will be smart enough to actually look at the FAA's budget and notice that they're self-funding. Nah, I can pull this off because most people don't care. The comment that Carney, Obama's spokesman, made is just unbelievably stupid. He said sequestration. Carney says the Congress passed, wrote the law. The Congress passed the law. The Congress should read the law, because why this president is livid that the Republican Congress won't give him messianic status. And let him do everything he wants to make America a communist country. And so what you have here is just another lie. Here's the realization. Sequestration was Obama's idea. Obama was desperate about a year and a half ago for an increase in the debt ceiling, and yet did not and was unwilling to make any concessions on government spending. And so the Republicans said, we're not going to just raise the debt ceiling if there is absolutely no commitment on behalf of this administration to cut federal spending. And the idea that Obama came up with is sequestration, about having cuts in particularly areas of like the military that Republicans dearly love. And if they accepted sequestration as his remedy to have cuts, should everybody not come to an agreement, is that we ought to cut everything except those things that make for the great society, that this would be imposed. Sequestration was Obama's idea. Carney knows it. And so what did he do? He lied. One other bit before we turn back to our Tamerlane and brother in Boston, and we do have Larry on the phone calling in from Florida. I don't know if you've noticed, but there have been a string of massive and deadly earthquakes that have ravaged much of the world over the last week or so. They've occurred almost every other day. There were two in Iran. One was registered in the 8 magnitude range. There was a killer quake in China. We don't even know how many hundreds of people were killed. Massive quakes in Mexico, and yesterday a series of deadly quakes in Afghanistan. As we know, earthquakes are one of the signs of the birth pangs of the last days. as is government malfeasance, which is highlighted in the first story. Now, I would like to turn back to our Boston duo. There's so much we can learn. And hopefully, you know, there'll be five or six of the 350 million Americans who will take a moment and will actually learn something from the Boston attacks, because the vast preponderance of Americans are doing exactly what they did after 9/11. Rather than being angry at their government, rather than pointing a finger at their government, recognizing that Islam perpetrated this, but their government was complicit, did nothing to not only stop it, but worse than that, that their government knew that these things were going to happen, knew who was going to perpetrate them, and then after they occurred, blame people that weren't actually responsible. That's what happened in 9/11. That's what's happening in Boston.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah, it's exactly it. And America has it as a country. This revival of patriotism in the midst of what should be disgust at our government is particularly sickening. Here you have an idiot. This is a Republican side idiot. The Democrats do not have a monopoly on stupidity. Lindsey Graham said, "There's ample evidence that the bombings were inspired by a radical ideology." Now, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine being that stupid that you would say there's ample evidence that the bombings were inspired by a radical ideology? So you're telling me that the religion of Islam itself is a radical ideology?
No.
I mean, how is a religion?
Put coffee together.
Yeah. How is a religion of 1.5 million billion people a radical ideology? And you're not even capable, Senator, of saying there's ample evidence that the bombings were inspired by Islam, period, full stop? You know, it's everything you read is about radical. Tamerlane apparently became increasingly radical in the past. Well, Larry, if you can stay with us, I'm going to speak about radical and its definitions when we return. And then I'd like to speak about what the CIA knew, as well as where they the bombing boys, where the bombing
them all around, giving them fake passports.
Yeah, I want to see where the bombing boys got their money to build their bombs. Sometimes laughing is better than crying. I was reading an article during the break of Mommy Sanarev, the one who we played the recording yesterday, that wants to join her son in Allah's brothel. She hasn't evidently read what Muhammad had to say about women and that they go to hell. But nonetheless, she wants to have someone kill her so she can die as a jihadist and join her son, Tamerlane, in hell. And then screamed Allahu Akbar, and that they were arrested because they were Muslims. That's the only reason they were arrested. Well, the reason I was laughing is that the FBI, CIA want both mommy and daddy bomber to come to America. And Mommy Sanarev says that she's not sure she can come because she was arrested for shoplifting, and she jumped bail and went back to Russia because she didn't want to have to go to court on shoplifting charges.
Wow. Love.
Lovely. And you know the reason she's such a high moral person. And we're going to get to radical here in just a second, but do you know how Tamerlane and mommy and daddy Sanarev were able to fund the Islamic education of the boys and fund their suicide bomb welfare? Absolutely true. They were, mommy and daddy Sanarev were on welfare. Both boys were on welfare. And then as adults, Tamerlane didn't work. He sent out his wife to be essentially a slave. She was working 80 hours a week, now they're saying. And he collected welfare. He also supplemented his income by selling narcotics.
Yeah, and meanwhile, him and his brother flew around with forged passports and names all over the world, and they had the money to do that. I have to tell you, I absolutely believe they were recruited.
Larry, we're just not going to go there. We're just not going to go there. It's obvious that that their motivation was Islam. They were good Muslims. They were good Muslims.
Sure was.
Let's stay with what we know absolutely to be true, as opposed to what we might think is true. No. What we know is absolutely true is both boys were fundamentalist Muslims. We know that both parents were fundamentalist Muslims. We know that for certain. We know that they killed and placed the bombs because they were Muslims. We do know that the U.S. government knew that Tamerlane was a terrorist. They were told by the Russians that he was a terrorist. They interviewed him.
Met with him.
Yeah, and met with him. And we also know that the CIA.
These are the same guys that asked everybody who they were.
Yeah, and the CIA had put him on their terrorist watch list.
Right.
And he had been on their terrorist watch list. He put him on their terrorist watch list 2 years ago, and yet when the pictures were circulated, the CIA and the FBI, both of which had interviewed him, both of which were following him, could not recognize him. Yeah, right. So
right. Yeah, we know that they knew who he was the whole time.
Right. So we can...
So why
did
they ask you and me who he was?
That's unbelievably stupid. It means that either the government was complicit or... They are so incompetent, they are not deserving of their jobs.
It's only one or the other, isn't it?
It's only one or the other. But let's leave it at one or the other, because that way we're on absolute solid ground. It is one or the other. You can choose whether your government is so incompetent that it does not deserve the jobs and that everybody should be fired and our government just shut down, or they were complicit, which is far worse. Let me talk a little bit about radical, if we could, Larry. Everyone's being called, you know, we've replaced Islam with the term radical. So I went to two of the most popular dictionaries in the world, and it's interesting how different their definitions of radical is. Now, first of all, radical is, it was used originally to describe radical Islam to differentiate it from normal Islam. Now, the fact is that the terrorists are all fundamentalists. All you have to do is read the religion, and you recognize that it's impossible to be a good Muslim without being a terrorist. Muhammad was a terrorist. The Quran orders Muslims to follow his example and his orders. And his orders. And Muhammad not only was a terrorist and said that he was a terrorist and committed led 75 terrorist raids, but his orders are always to fight in Allah's cause. So here's the definition of radical, which is primarily an adjective. Number one, basic. Relating to or affecting meaning moving or upsetting the basic nature or the most important features of something. So if that definition is right, the radical Muslims would be upsetting the basic nature of something. They would be a reformer, if you will, when in fact they're fundamentalists. The opposite is true. Back to Shattering Myths. One of the biggest myths in our society revolves around the use of words, the corruption of words to mislead. You know, a great example is the Old Testament, corrupting God's testimony to us. The idea of there being gospels, which is the spell of God, which is a demonic deity. In politics, you find that rather than calling Islamic terrorists, we want to call them insurgents. And rather than referring to Islam, we want to refer to them as radicals or extremists. Now, we were considering the first definition of radical, which is affecting, moving, or upsetting the basic nature of something. Now, these guys are fundamentalists. Now, another online source uses the botanical definition of radical, which is going or from the root or origin. And then they define that as saying a radical difference. Now, you can't be from the root and equate that to difference. It's being used politically to describe, to distance from Islam, the concept of being different, not the botanical definition, which is from the root. You can't be different if you're from the same root. So even in our dictionaries now, there is an irrational review of words. Number two is by one definition is pervasive, far-reaching. Now, far-reaching would be true, but they're trying to make exactly the opposite point, that it's a small percentage of people that are radical Muslims as opposed to normal Muslims. And yet, their explanation of pervasive is a radical reorganization of something. No, that would be the. I mean, that would be a reformation again. I mean, that would be somebody changing that which previously existed, and
which they're not about to do because they could die.
Well, they would die. Yeah, all of the Islamic terrorists are fundamentalists. They're following Muhammad's example. They're following Muhammad's orders. Muhammad was a terrorist. Right. The Quran is a declaration of war against all humankind. Number two from another online dictionary, the largest of them, says that it is regarding a change from an accepted or traditional form. So, again, if radical is being used of Islam, it's being inferred that the terrorists are changing the accepting and traditional form of the religion.
Now, not true.
It's exactly the opposite. The reason they call it Salaf Islam and they have Salaf parties is the Salaf are the most fundamentalists. Salaf means ancestor. It's a Salaf is paying attention to the Hadith. The Hadith are the words of Muhammad's companions and the words of Muhammad as the first Muslims practiced the religion and conceived the religion, and therefore they are adhering to the most fundamentalist aspects of the religion, going right back to its beginnings. Number three from from one online dictionary was favoring major changes in religion, politics, or other societal areas of society with sweeping or extreme differences. And so, again, all you have to do is, if you don't believe us on this, is go online, prophetofdoom.net. It's the most comprehensive review of the Islamic Hadith and the Quran, puts the Quran into chronological order, into the context of Muhammad's life, using the Hadith, 1,000 pages long, thousands upon thousands of documented citations from the Islamic scriptural sources, proves absolutely, emphatically, that those who are terrorists are the opposite of changing their religion. The religion is what has changed them.
They do exactly what their prophet did. Exactly.
That is exactly right. The third online definition from the largest dictionary, favoring drastic political, economic, or religious reforms. That's exactly the opposite. So the word radical being applied to Islam ubiquitously by everybody in government, by everybody in the media, by everybody in law enforcement, by everyone, is the antithesis of what's true. So why is the American media, the American judicial system, America's police and military, and America's politicians all using exactly the same terminology when it is the opposite of what is true?
Because they came from the U.S. Department of Education with the No Child Left Unbrainwashed division, where political correctness overrides facts, and
that's
they're
probably
trying to eliminate the truth, aren't they?
I'm reading
an article here, I want to share with you here. It's from Ynet News. It says the White House blasted Hezbollah They blasted Hezbollah today, saying it's running itself like a drug cartel. And then they blacklisted two Lebanese firms for allegedly laundering money through the U.S. financial system to transfer funds to Shias. Hezbollah is operating like a major drug cartel, said Derek Maltz, a special agent for the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency. He added that the Shias group proceeds are funding violence against Americans.
Oh, well,
wow.
What's amazing, of course, is the U.S. CIA, all during the Vietnam War, funded all sorts of clandestine activity. Through drug smuggling. And Hezbollah is the primary terrorist organization of Shia Muslims. It is an outgrowth of the Iranian government. It is headquartered in Damascus, Syria. The name Hezbollah means Party of Allah. And so to say this is to say that the most fundamentalist Muslims are drug smugglers. Of course, it's interesting that in terms of the United States involvement of all this, when the Taliban was in charge of Afghanistan, they produced very little narcotic, and now they are responsible for somewhere around 80 to 90% of the world's heroin and opium, now that the United States is controlling Afghanistan. How do you suppose that is? With the CIA all over Afghanistan, why is Afghanistan once again the largest supplier of heroin and opium? But the last thought on the radical concept. I went to Wikipedia because on definitions, Wikipedia is usually pretty good. They give you the origins and the like. Well, the word radical is from the Latin radicalis, which means of roots. The original definition would be fine, except that original definition is no longer valid unless you go into the areas of science. And that's why the term radical was not a political term. It was a science term. In chemistry, it means atom or molecule. And that's where it began. In math, it is a square root. In medicine, it is a complete removal. You know, like a radical mastectomy, it's a complete removal.
Mm-hmm.
In linguistics, it is used, a radical is the exception to the standard patterns on verb changes. Exceptions to the norm. In politics, it is the last thing that they list. And on politics, it is far right, actually the second to last, far right or far left, most conservative, most liberal. But not defining if it's more conservative or liberal, it's just radical is the extreme. And these terrorists are not the extreme. They're not far left. They're not far right. They are just fundamentalists. And according to religion, it speaks of reformation. And if reformation is used to go back to the original, then it doesn't actually apply technically to Islam. Because Islam has never left its base. Because Islam has not migrated. Islam,
all their subjects.
Right. Yeah, Islam did not have a Roman Catholic Church that changed everything, and so a Reformation was desirable and possible. Not that anything with religion is desirable, but the Reformation removed some of the most corrupt aspects of Roman Catholicism. Not a lot of them, but some of them. In Islam, there is no. You can't have a Reformation because the original source material is what drives everyone, and it is a terrorist dogma at its heart. And so if there were possibilities of having a Reformation and going back to the root, then that would be the worst thing that could possibly happen to the world. In fact, it is what is happening to the world. There's a few other just insights on this story. The suspect's father, Anzor, remember Anzor Sanarev was the one that lashed out at America first and said, you know, boy, if they kill my son, all hell will break loose. And he was lashing out at the American government, the very government that paid him welfare when he was here. The government that took this cancer into its country. He said that he wants to take his dead son's body back to Russia. One of these days, someone's going to be smart enough to say, you know, what we need to do here is to take these bodies of suicide bombers and stuff them full of pig guts Because a Muslim is convinced that if they touch swine, because Jews are swine, according to Allah, that they can't enter paradise.
I think that was done in World War II, and I think it put an end to a bunch of
them. Yeah. Stuff them with, you commit a terrorist act as a Muslim, you get stuffed and gutted with pig guts and buried that way. Maybe with a copy of the Talmud in one hand, because they hate Jews, and maybe a Star of David tattooed in the other. Again, just because they hate Jews. Be perfect. You want to stop Islamic terrorism? Do that. You know what I would have done immediately after 9/11 on those lines is after 9/11, I would have done one of two things. I would have either told Saudi Arabia that you've got 5 hours to evacuate Mecca because we're going to blow Allah and his Kaaba shrine, his rock shrine, to smithereens. We're absolutely going to wipe Mecca off the face of the earth. And so you've got, 5 hours to evacuate everyone in Mecca that doesn't want to die a martyr. And as revenge, if you will, for 9/11, I would have bombed the Kaaba. Now, the other alternate would have said, all right, here's my answer, Muslims. Islam did this, so here's the deal. The next significant Islamic terrorist act in America by Muslims, the Kaaba's gone. That's just the answer. I'm not going to negotiate with you. Not going to do this in a trial. It's just gone. So think clearly about it.
Yeah,
and if you think that Allah can stop you, great. Good luck with that.
You're not in bed with the Saudi government.
Yeah, that's correct. That's why the Saud nationals. That's why the Saud government is going to get their citizen back, even though he was a terrorist and right there in the midst of the Boston bombings, they'll get him back.
There was another one there. Back after the bombing, running.
We'll be back in a moment. Shattering Myths. We still have Larry with us, calling in from Florida. The accusation I made about, in fact, I think it was you that made it, Larry, about the Sennarev brothers being welfare recipients is a fact. It was not only published by the Boston Herald, but the Massachusetts Department of Welfare, of Transitional Assistance, said that the Sarnev's parents, in addition to Tamerlane, but the parents as well as Jokar and Tamerlane were originally on welfare and for most of the time that they were here, and that Tamerlane continued on welfare through 2012 and then ultimately became ineligible, not because of his income, because he wasn't working, although he was selling drugs, but because he used his wife as a slave. She was working 80 hours a week and ultimately made too much money cleaning toilets and doing such chores for them to qualify. But can you imagine America being stupid enough to think that what we need to do is go to Dagestan and take Muslims out of Dagestan who are Chechnyans, who Chechnyan Muslims are probably the most vicious, reprehensible Islamic terrorists in the world, sponsored almost exclusively by Iran. And what we ought to do is we need to take the perpetrators of terror out of that country and import them into the United States. And then when we bring this cancer into the United States, we'll bring the perpetrators of terror, not the victims of terror, in the United States. Then what we're going to do is we're going to support those who hate us and want to kill us with welfare. Is it a great country or what?
I think it's a great plan, and I also think it's a great plan to have a guy that calls himself an ambassador, run around in Benghazi and make sure deals where 10,000 Stinger missiles get laid off to the Mujahideen.
Yes.
Good idea, too. I mean, that's why I go to work every day, so I can harm these people, so I could pay for people to sit around on their lazy asses all day. I mean, that's what I do.
Let's provide, they despite all the weapons, from taxpayer expense to Egypt, so that they can terrorize the Copt Christians and threaten Israel. Let's supply the weapons.
Plan as well.
Let's supply the weapons to the Mujahideen and the jihadist in Libya, so that they can kill our ambassador. Let's supply weapons to the rebels in Syria.
And commit an act of terrorism.
Right.
I want my whole town to be put on lockdown, and I'll be treated like I'm kind of an animal farm or something, or 1984, where they'll come in and strip search my wife and throw me up against the wall and say, hey, you shut up. Don't be looking out your window. Then I'll come out and wave the flag and say, USA, USA.
That's
what I'm all about.
Hey, that's what I'm all about, Jay. Turning a city into a military state. And the government, even though one was...
They scrambled two B-2 stealth bombers, too.
Yeah, you know, and you see all of the military helicopters. The U.S. military is precluded from being deployed in this manner. Didn't matter to anybody, turned the place into a police state, and they couldn't even find him. The reason that the Joker was finally found is because the guy that owned the boat saw the blood going to it, and he found him underneath the thing, comatose, you know, essentially, asleep. And so what did we do? We turned it into a shooting gallery like they were at an arcade. And all of this time, The Tamerlane was on the CIA's watch list as well.
That's too bad. I would have liked them to be able to talk.
You know, what's amazing, too, is that when the FBI interviewed Tamerlane, his YouTube channel address at the time was Moses Fula, which means the sword of Islam, the sword of Allah, if you will. It's actually literally the sword of Allah. And they couldn't find anything to be worried about with somebody whose U channel address is the sword of Allah.
How would that be when they've got the Arab-speaking people and everything? They know what it said.
You know, it's amazing that for people not thinking, I've only found one other person that has mentioned and talked about the fact that these parents named their eldest son after the most vicious man who ever lived. The most vicious Muslim in human history, the most vicious man in human history. If you turn, in fact, one person, this was somebody commenting on a CNN news report, wrote, I turned to Wikipedia and this is what I found after hearing the name was Tamerlane. Timur started life as the son of a minor chieftain, much like the reputed ancestor Genghis Khan. Through sheer intelligence, military skill, force of personality, and his religion, Timur was able to conquer an empire stretching from Russia to India, from the Mediterranean Sea to Mongolia.
Right.
He was a devout Muslim. He was the most vicious killer in human history. He murdered 19 million people.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that...